Oh yeah. Oh,
you
yeah.
ready? You ready?
Yeah.
Listen, this is different. Anyway. Hello and welcome to Coffee and a Notepad, where we discuss all things business, entrepreneurship, and creating success on your own terms. My name is Kiafa Hall, and I thank you so much for coming back another week. And this time I am joined by my special spesh.
Hey, what's going on?
My brother from another mother, hey. Tully Garrett of Tully Garrett Photography. How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you,
special spesh? This setup, I was not expecting all of this. So yeah. I usually do my recordings via video, Zoom links, Restream, things like this. But Tully has an entire setup for us. It's staged nice and perfectly.
Two cameras. Light.
Pillow. That is the photographer in him. That is the videographer in him. So I appreciate you bringing your touch to the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. Feeling great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah.
So before we dive into our topic, wanted to ask you, what is something that you heard someone say or you read, like a quote, that made you look at something else differently?
So when I give that thought, the first thing that pops in my mind is the quote, "A poor man pays twice." And so that really hit home for me, because growing up, coming from Brooklyn, you know, not the best environment, whatever, family made a way, but we didn't have enough most of the time. So because of that, you find yourself always trying to save a buck at every turn. So ultimately, you know, if it was buy the $500 camera, even though $500 for a camera is cheap now, but if buy the $500 camera or buy the $50 camera,
I'm buying the $50.
Yeah. Right. So like usually you would buy the $50 camera because you're like, oh, that's $450 I could use for something else. But then you realize you get that $50 camera and then it breaks. And then you buy another one and another one and another one. And then time goes by and you have 8 cameras or whatever. Well, 10.
Instead of investing. And
you could have just invested one time.
Yeah.
And got that good camera. So a poor man pays twice is a quote that I live by, because I find that, and not to say that if you buy something expensive, it's going to be good, but just make sure that you get the value for whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's trips, whether it's different experiences, equipment, especially, you know what I'm saying? So for me, I'm just like, I always want to make sure that I try to invest in whatever it is that I'm doing so I won't have to pay twice.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely a good one. I am still struggling with switching my mind that it is okay to spend a little extra.
Yeah.
I like couponing. So one of the things that drives my husband crazy is he'll want to go to the store and he'll just pick up something. And I'm like, no, like, can we check to make sure we already have it? Right. Is there a coupon for it?
Look it up on Amazon. See
but
if it's.
Yes, yeah. But the amount of time it takes to search for that extra coupon where he could have just picked it up. The fact that if you have it in the house, that's great. You know it for the next time. But I will run like from store to store to get something just because it's cheaper.
Yeah.
Or I will chastise myself if like I see a bag that I absolutely love and I'm like, I don't want to pay that price, but I'll go to Marshall's or DSW or somewhere else and pick up something similar.
Yeah.
Just because it's cheaper. And then you don't love it as much. You don't use it as much. You don't do anything. So I definitely think you do end up paying more. But it's a hard switch because when you come from a space that you didn't have it, your immediate is, how do I make what I have
stretch? Exactly. That's a
fact. I am good for like saving leftovers and how do I do this again, or figuring out a way to, you know, you make the best out of whatever situation. And I think it lends itself to being really creative and being, finding unique ways to solve problem solving that like that is a skill that I think I've learned because I didn't have that. You have to figure out how to do, and it lends itself to my business.
Yeah, that's a fact.
But I can definitely see how I may be putting me at a detriment to always be looking for the cheaper way to do things.
Yeah, because like you're right. some, it does create innovation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you see a lot of the people that made it, they'll say, you don't need all this thousands of dollars of equipment and all this stuff. That's a fact. Mm-hmm. I don't need to do photography with the latest camera. Actually, my camera that I use, mm-hmm. and I hope this doesn't deter anyone, but my camera that I use is like 10 years old. Mm. You know what I mean? And I'm still pumping out quality images.
Yeah.
It's a great cache. It's one of the best cameras that was made back then, but they have a totally new system and I want to upgrade, but also when I do upgrade, I want to make sure that I upgrade correctly because I don't want to spend a bunch of money, which is for the cheaper version, mm-hmm. and then still have to go back and turn around and pay for something else
yeah.
again.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm not there yet, though. I'm still going to shop for a deal.
Yeah.
But I'm going to write that on my wall. A poor man pays twice. That is a good one.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite quotes that I live by.
I think, yeah, I'm going to post it. I enjoy that
and
one.
It translates to everything, like literally everything that I do, like all of my hobbies, like snowboarding, golfing. I haven't bought a good set of clubs yet. I got like a free pair, basically. But when it is time to pay, I'm going to make sure that I get the right fit for me so I don't have to come back around and reinvest. So it's not necessarily for anyone listening. It's not necessarily to say, don't just get something expensive. It's to get something that's right for you.
Yes.
So that you don't have to buy it again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And doing your research.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a research maniac.
I know this. Yeah.
Right. Look how long it took to set up.
It's all good. And I wonder if that also will lend itself this idea of finding other ways to do something, finding shortcuts or... I don't know, but the idea of paying twice, with the idea of imposter syndrome. So today I wanted to sit down and talk to you because as I started my business, there were a lot of times that I was very intimidated around whether or not I could enter into the space, step out on my own, quit my job if I had the capabilities, despite the fact that I spent over half my life in taking classes, almost 20 years in management, leadership, right? So, but I didn't know if I could do it on my own. And that presents itself as, you know, imposter syndrome. I will step back and be like, well, I'll wait to see if someone else does it or overly researching something before trying it. And when I look on the research around imposter syndrome, it's often spoken for from a woman's perspective.
Okay.
So I'm curious.
Yeah.
Do men experience imposter syndrome?
I would definitely say yes. I've experienced imposter syndrome myself with numerous things, but I'll talk about photography just as one of them. But for me, it took a while for me to step out of my comfort zone into photography because I was always worried about, oh, well, look at what this person is doing. Look at what this guy or this girl has going on. And I was looking at everyone that's like further along for me or further along, you know, like
in their journey. Yeah.
In their journey. And so because of that, it made me not want to try things. So if I could find a video, a picture or something, I could put up like on the screen, like my first few photos and you'll notice one thing in common. Everything that was in studio was on a white background.
Mm.
Why? Because I'm scared. I don't want to step out. Let me just put you on a white background, put a light in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like it was just very cookie cutter, simple stuff. And then versus now, if you look at like some of the work that I do, it's all over the place. Like I'm really experimenting. I'm playing with light. I'm playing with shadow. But it took years for me to step out of my comfort zone. And because I know how much it happens, like it occurs so much within males, but it just, we don't talk about it. And so because of that, I always try to pass knowledge along. I have a friend that, I basically gave him all of the knowledge that I've experienced within a 4-year period. So for him, his explosion of knowledge happened in like 6 months mm-hmm. because I was just like, I'm passing along because I don't even want you to struggle and go through the frustration that I had to go through with people.
So I find that to hear you talk about your step into photography and to know your work, right? Mm-hmm. I could have never guessed that you were ever doubt yourself as this being something you can do.
Yeah, no.
So what does imposter syndrome look like for you?
So it's a few ways. So the first is what I said earlier about how people, you know, you're looking at other folks and saying, mm-hmm. damn, I don't know if I can do that. Another thing is just experiencing, like going through like certain aspects of business and understanding how to interact with people. Mm-hmm. So I'll speak about it from experience. One of the first gigs that I had on my own, I wasn't sure. So basically, just long story short, I got G'd. the guy was like, yo, pull up. He was like, yo, pull up, blah, 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 blah. I have a nonprofit or whatnot, and mm-hmm. I need photos taken of the people wearing my merch. Uh-huh. And he was like, I'll have models. He had other people there who had their own side businesses, two other people in particular. So I basically did three shoots in one.
Oh,
I was afraid to speak up for myself because mm-hmm. I felt that because I didn't have the experience, or, and I'm doing air quotes for those that are listening, the experience or the knowledge mm-hmm. that I need to just go along with this. But they were taking advantage. And yeah. I think that's one aspect of imposter syndrome as well.
Yeah.
Not speaking up for yourself, not just simply saying, hey, I don't agree with this. I don't like what you guys are doing. And I don't think that this is right.
Yeah.
So I went through with it and ultimately I was dissatisfied. And it was a lesson learned. I ultimately told myself never again.
Yeah. I've spoken to a lot of my girlfriends who run their own business. They do consulting or something else. And the way that it's presented itself for us around the table is like when you're writing that contract and you go back and you're like, I know how much I want to ask for. Right. I could also see they're not broke. And not that you should be trying to steal everyone's money or just because someone has it, you're trying to get as much as possible. But you're sitting back and you're finding reasons that you should discount what you want to ask for. Cause you're like, well, they could go to a larger company to do this, or I only work by myself, or I've only just been doing this for mm-hmm. X amount of time.
Yeah.
So you're leaving money on the table.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want to oversell yourself. Mm-hmm. And I see a lot of women who go to like coaches and motivational speakers and read lots of books, myself included, to reaffirm that you do know what you do know.
Right.
What do men do? Like, is it just stepping out there? Like you talked about feeling like you took advantage of that. What did you do after that?
After that, I told myself that I'll never make that mistake again. For me, it was working myself to a confidence, working myself to gain experience mm-hmm. to where I can allow that confidence to grow. Mm-hmm. But throughout it was very uncomfortable. I naturally don't read as much as I should. But when I do,
shame.
I know,
if,
right?
Guys, if you could see his bookshelf behind him.
No, I read most of those books. Those 48 of Power, Seduction, War. That's what I was about to say. I don't read as much as I should. I don't read no story books. That's facts. But I have the motivational books on, you know what I mean? On tap. So like, that's what I naturally read. And I think that works, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't know. I just don't like reading because like I can't multitask it, but now I'm about to get audiobooks. So
yes, get the audiobooks. No excuses.
Yeah,
so motivational books do help.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like the Four Agreements. Like that was one of the more recent books that I've read. And I'm like, man, like, you know, those Four Agreements were like everything to me. And I was able to take it and apply them to all of the different experiences that I had. Mm-hmm. And so that's what allowed me to get better and me to grow my confidence and understanding that it's okay for someone else to say no.
Mm, say more.
So for instance, like I have a friend, he had some clients and he didn't know what to price, like mm-hmm. where to quote them. I told him, give whatever you felt comfortable with. Mm-hmm. They said no. And then asked for him to come back. They said no and then said, could you just do X amount of time? Basically tried to lower the package.
Yeah.
And we were conversing. I was like, hey, bro, you know, it's okay for them to say no. You know, you can reroute how this price is. So if they don't want to spend $2,000, you could break it up, chop it into four payments of 500. And maybe that might be less of a burden. Yeah. And so just, and if they don't want to do that, then that's okay too. I'll get off him and speak for myself for a second. I did a consultation, like an hour consultation the other day, where the client was happy, ready to go. We were breaking up the cost into two payments. I was setting everything up. Right before we just started, I just got a text saying, hey, I'm not going to be able to do it next month. Can we push it down the line? Blah, blah, blah. That sucks. You know, I really was looking forward to doing the shoot and making, you know, making those beautiful images. But I understand that people have different things that they have going on in their life. And so, yeah, I'm just going to say it's okay. Yeah, we can make it happen. If they don't make it happen, cool.
You know? Yeah, I think I agree. I stepping out on your own and deciding that you want to try something new.
Yeah.
Hearing someone push back on what they believe your worth is or what they are willing to pay is hard, because everyone is out there. Social media is the devil. No, it's not. I love social media. But if you look on social media, it looks like everybody is out there. They're just breaking, you know, 6-7 figures with no problem. And then if someone comes to you and you're like, oh, we need to renegotiate this, you're like, well, maybe I don't really know what I'm doing. Right. And it doesn't help that a lot of people don't discuss their contracts. They don't discuss the process as much. So you're out here just wondering.
Yeah.
But that feeling, I can see for imposter syndrome, how it can feed this feeling of I'm not able to do this work.
Yeah.
And it being really, really frustrating to almost value yourself based on how someone else is valuing you, what your work is. Your work is worth. So you mentioned reading. Do you have a circle that you also confide in? Do you have mentors that you work with? How do you and men, I guess, in general, kind of work through those feelings?
So for me, I'm fortunate enough to have a few older gentlemen that I consider mentors where I can go to in my life and discuss things. But I do think that that's like very important. And I don't think that as men, we have those like circles. But yes, I actually do. So in regards to photography, if I'm ever having anything in regards to like an experience that I've never had, I will go to my mentor and just say, hey, such and such, this is transpiring. Luckily enough, I haven't had to go to him with that recently. But definitely starting out, you know, I definitely went out to him. Another thing that I did was I tried to create, it's nothing big. It's just like maybe, I don't know, 18, 20 folks in a Instagram chat. And so it's a group of like photographers, mainly photographers and a few videographers. Some other people do a few other things and we just chat in there, you know, and then if we like put up some work, like I was like, hey, you share your work and we can discuss it. Sometimes it does get a little bit argumentative and oh, what camera do you use? But outside of that, I think that that's a great area, great space to have, like just to be able to speak. Sometimes we speak about our frustrations. Hey, this client did such and such. And then we go at it. It's not exclusively with men. But you know, it's a group of folks. So, okay. Yeah.
So your group is open. It's not just men in the group.
No, it's not just men.
Yeah. But I think that having those groups is important and curating them. Because there's a, first of all, once again, I promise I love social media. I think my frustration with social media is that it was supposed to, or at least my feeling, when social media first started, dating myself, but when social media first started, it was a way for you to engage and create community. And now I just feel like it creates facades and it causes more anxiety and frustration than anything. So I've noticed that groups that random groups that are supposed to be about empowering or helping one another is more of trying to sell something or getting like jumping on someone for making a mistake.
Right.
And it's if this person is new, like going in and joining these groups, just starting my business, right? You want to see what other people are doing, what they're talking about,
yeah.
introduce yourself. But if I mention, you know, oh, I'm looking for a contract template for X, Y, and Z, you should have already had that. Why didn't you do this? Go find a lawyer. And then, yeah. and it's like, I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
So what am I supposed to do? But then I had a friend who also invited me to like just a random Slack group that they have put together of other people who are doing learning and development.
Yeah.
And it's completely different. Like, oh, here's a free workshop that's coming up. Oh, I'm going to this conference. Who wants to meet up? Mm-hmm. Here's this resource for AI. Like it's all about info sharing, jokes, of course, in there. You're going to get some correction, but I feel like the level of correction is different.
Yeah.
And being in these groups and these social media circles, I feel people try to one up themselves, like make themselves feel better.
Absolutely.
By putting down someone who's yeah. just seeking out information.
I remember in the midst of the pandemic, there was a photographer. It was a photography group and Clubhouse. Remember mm-hmm. that app?
Oh, gosh. No, I didn't get on Clubhouse. You know why? Because Apple and Android don't like to play together. Yeah, and then
they got last minute. Yeah, all right, y'all can come.
I'm team Android and I'm not changing it. Thanks.
Yeah, that's a struggle. I don't know.
And I see all of you that are on the Spill. If you're on Spill and you don't care about Android.
Yeah, you can't even use it.
Okay, thank you. That's all right.
But yeah, this model basically like tore me to pieces.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Just was like, yeah, like you shouldn't be a photographer, blah, blah, blah.
No.
And then a bunch of people was hitting me up on the side. And I'm like, damn, like that's crazy, you know? But I realized quickly that, oh, sometimes these spaces aren't real community spaces. Mm-hmm. It's just for someone to get in and then, you know, present themselves as the big dog.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it sucked. It was embarrassing, but, you know, you just gotta be able to pinpoint and choose where you want your tribe to be. But it's very difficult, especially for men. I would say that I struggle with that.
So you mentioned earlier that one of the ways that you were experiencing imposter syndrome was based on looking at like other people's artwork and other people's photography.
Yeah.
And then being afraid to kind of spread your wings.
Yeah.
On the reverse side, was there a way that you were able to confirm that you picked the right path?
Yeah. So looking at some of the photographers that I admired at the time initially gave me imposter syndrome. Then I started working towards trying to get the images to look similar,
mm-hmm.
which isn't the best thing to do, but it's a start. And then once I realized that I understood it, then it became, all right, let me put my twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to just copy you. I think a lot of photographers get into, and maybe not just photographers, but I speak from a photography perspective. A lot of people get into the art of copying
mm-hmm.
and just, oh, this person did this, and this person did that. And it's nothing wrong with copying to learn and copying to gain experience. But ultimately, for me, at least, the goal is to create my own look.
Mm-hmm.
So some people don't like the work that I do, and that's okay. You know, I can't make everyone happy, but I'm on my own journey and I'm trying to create what I think is my representation of art.
Yeah.
I don't want to just look like everybody.
And I think that's important. There are two important points you just made. The first one is borrowing for inspiration versus taking and copying. I just started this book. I believe the title is Steal Like an Artist.
Yeah.
And it's literally just like, at this point, there's nothing new. Like everything's been done before, but you're borrowing, you're taking from other places, and then you're using it to inspire you to bring it back in another light. And some people will just say, oh, that worked for that person, I'm going to copy and paste it.
Right.
And then I think the other thing is making sure that you are affirming yourself by looking at your work and seeing what's new that's to come out of it. Right.
Yeah.
And not everything is for everybody.
Right.
I think a big part of imposter syndrome is that you're comparing yourselves to others without knowing their journey, without knowing who they're appealing to, without knowing what their hills are. You're looking at their highlight reel.
Right.
And you have no idea how long it took them to get there, who they're actually trying to impress by whatever they're sharing. So if just like your friend who was, you know, wanted to go back and negotiate on his price, that person may just not have been a good client for them.
Right.
And you don't know that if you continue to live in feeling like I'm not prepared for this space.
Right. Exactly. I completely agree.
So, as you move forward, continue to do great work. You mentioned that you are trying to help others to not experience the same imposter syndrome. So what does that look like for you?
What that looks like for me is a number of things. I've been doing one-on-one classes, one-on-one sessions. And then with my personal friends, I share information when needed. You know, if a friend hits me up, if I'm available, I'll explain stuff. More so recently now it's starting to become, wait, instead of just giving the nugget away, let me try to like talk the person through it. And so for instance, if someone says like, hey, how do you think this photo was created? I was like, well, let's break it down. You see this light, you see that shadow. How many lights, how many shadows do you see? How many angles of the shadow? You know, I get more specific and like kind of have a conversation through it. And then that allows us to like break it down instead of me just like giving them the answer.
Look at you leading. Look at you coaching.
But now I do it because I was telling Giselle yesterday, like I'm so appreciative of the people that helped me along the way. So for instance, the first gentleman, one of my first photography mentors, he told me, I have the book up there. It's a photography textbook. And he was like, if you can't talk the language, don't talk to me.
That is a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Language, understanding language. I just did a presentation. It was on social media. I promise I don't hate it. Using social media in my transition to launch my own business. And one of the things I said was just going on different videos, watching YouTube, watching TikToks, going on Instagram, you pick up the language that people are using to communicate in the field. And I definitely think it makes a difference when you're able to explain what you're doing in common words.
Absolutely.
And it makes people feel like, oh, you know, the industry, you know what you're talking about.
You can talk that talk. And he was adamant.
Yeah, it's definitely important to like be able to recognize terminology and speak eloquently in a space, especially if you are trying to sell your business or what you're doing to someone else. And I think that also makes you stand taller, right?
Like Absolutely. Being
able to understand what other people are saying as well. If you walk into a networking event and people are talking about a topic and you have to use a bunch of context clues, they're not you're going to be uncomfortable when they try to invite you into the conversation.
Yeah.
But if you are, for me, it's like being able to pick up on, oh, they're talking about something about their business. Is that a CRM system that you're working in? Or you're talking about adapting a new product? Okay, these are words that make sense to me. You're looking at your strategy. Yes, I know where to jump in at. But if I am like a deer in headlights and I'm like waiting for them to explain it to me, that's not going to help me feel confident in my business.
Absolutely. And so for me, every day on my lunch break, because he worked at the agency that I used to work at, so I always brought my lunch. I would just go downstairs and I read the book, I read a chapter and then I go to him and I'll talk to him about what it was. And then he would like break down certain things. Ultimately, that allowed me to have like a basis, like a basic understanding of photography. And I was able to expound on that.
Yeah.
And so I'm really proud of that. I've had conversations with other photographers and they say, man, you got this technical stuff down pat. And I'm like, yeah, that's great. Now, because I have that, it's easier and I feel more comfortable with just getting the artsy side down because now it's just about expression. I already know what camera settings I'm gonna put in.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't matter anymore. So I think that was a great way to go.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. And I think another thing you said and touched on a little earlier is practicing, right? Yeah. So for me, working in like strategy development or learning design, I'm always thinking, looking at businesses and saying, well, how would they do it? Right. Yeah. And so I think what's helpful, what's been helpful for me is actually practicing different tools, like looking at different models and saying, how would I apply this to a particular scenario? Right. That time to practice gives me the opportunity to be reflective without other people seeing what's going on.
Right, right.
So it sounds like the same thing for you, being able to start to spread your wings a little bit, practicing. Did you know at the time that you were doing it consciously to knock off some of your own fears, or was it just kind of like, I'm going with the flow?
Yeah. So for me, I was like, I was afraid and I was just like, man, I suck. Like, I don't understand things. So I just kept going into YouTube and watching YouTube. But then I don't know how it happened, but a light bulb went off in my head. Mm-hmm. And the person that I was watching, he was giving, I'm not going to say he was giving incorrect advice, but he was giving advice that didn't apply to my scenario. I won't go into details because that's like way longer than it needs to be. But ultimately, like, he just, it was almost as if he was staring me in the wrong direction. Mm. So the advice that he was giving me was not allowing me to take correctly exposed shots. Mm-hmm. Everything was way too bright. And I was just like, what the hell is going on? Mm. So that made me more uncomfortable. And I just had to continue to work to ultimately muster up the confidence to then begin to reach out and ask various models to shoot. That's another thing, being a male in this space, even though I believe it is a male dominated industry. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, I'm like, man, I'm still a man reaching out to women. I don't want, you know, at first, I don't care about it now. But that first year, first 2 years, it's like, hey, I'm a photographer. Would you like to shoot? But I was coming unprepared, you know, and so realizing that, oh, ultimately, like, you have to come correct. Hey, pleasure meeting you. Hope your day is going well. My name is Telly, blah, blah, blah. This is what I would like to do. Here's the concepts that I'm looking into. If you have anything else, that would be great. Here's the dates that I'm available. And once I started to do that, it made the process way more smooth.
You know, but even in you saying that, being willing and not living in the fear of reaching out to someone, because I don't even, did you know all of those models?
Nah, like a search of hashtags. Right.
I'm not reaching out to nobody I don't know. I mean, I'm getting better with that, right? But I do think that that is also a hard part to get over, to, I don't know this person. I don't know how they're going to receive me. I don't want to come off looking like I don't know what I'm talking about. And so that hesitation of not even reaching out to someone, I think that that's even different in how you are presenting. And I don't know if that's across the board, but I've definitely noticed that being more selective about who you're telling or who you're reaching out to even say, hey, I need help, or hey, I want to try something.
Right.
So that, you know, that has not been my experience, but it seems to have been helpful for you.
Absolutely. It was definitely helpful. Without it, I don't think that I would have been able to get to where I am with it. I think that that's the one thing that in business, you know, outside of community, you also have to believe in yourself. Mm. And sometimes that imposter syndrome makes you not believe in yourself, and it creates, you mentioned it earlier, analysis paralysis, because you spend all this time.
That is such a word.
Yo, I love that word. Because I that's me. I would research something to death.
Yes.
You know, and then just be like, now I'm like, man, you know what? Like with golf, like I'm watching all these videos on how should I swing and how should I hold it? I need to get out there and just actually go swing.
Yeah. Like,
so I stopped watching video. Well, I watched some videos to go to sleep. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I stopped watching it. In regards to photography, I was, you know, watching all these photographers do this different thing. No, I have a core understanding of photography. Now let me go and actually, you know, work at it and just experiment, try different things. Normally people just light from the front. No, you can light from the back. You can light from the side. There's actually the positions, like those, there's names for everything that like you can attempt to do. So it's like you said earlier, it's nothing new under the sun. It's just a matter.
I knew I was going to find an end, because I think that that mentality of being able to take the time and try different things and kind of invest in figuring out different ways that works for you.
Yeah.
Is that poor man's mindset. Right. Like
facts.
Not taking the time, like only going one, doing it one way.
Right.
Because someone else already said that that's the way that it works. Mm-hmm. Right. If I take, so case in point, I craft, you know, this, I spend a lot of time in my craft room. Sometimes I'm like buying a, these extra sheets of acrylic. These are not cheap pieces of material to play with. I mean, in the grand scheme, they're fine, but they're not cheap material. Right. So if I mess this up, I've wasted it. But if I don't actually practice on it, if I don't take the time to like burn a couple of these or break a couple of these, I'll never know how to do it correctly.
Right.
Right. And so it's that, that fear, that poor man's mindset of I'm going to just do one way until someone else shows me the second way and I don't try it myself. You could miss out on figuring out something new that no one else is thinking of.
Absolutely. And then, you know, not to dive us down a different rabbit hole, but also like male ego. I don't know. To me, I'm envious of women in regards to like entrepreneurship, because you guys have conferences. You do all of this amazing stuff. And I just be like, damn, I'm not invited. Like, I need to put a wig on, you know what I mean? And pull up on some, you know what I mean? But, but like, seriously, I'm like, damn, like, it's crazy that like, we don't have those type of, environments, or at least I don't really know much. And I'm also not trying to like pay $2,000 for a conference, but I do think it's nice though.
But you know what? On the other side, it's so intimidating going to conferences when you see a lot of men that are the keynote speakers or they're like male dominated spaces. And so I realize I walk into a room and I'm always looking for another Black woman, right? Yeah, I need to see someone and kind of be like, okay, I'm in the right space. Because you guys take up a lot of space. You you occupy a lot of room. So those conferences, I think are a blessing and a curse. Like women conferences and these summits that are geared for women gives us a safe space to kind of talk about these things, to talk about having imposter syndrome, to talk about the challenges of negotiating a contract or walking in a room and having to be extra conscious of what you're wearing or how you're standing and how you wear your hair and all these things that if I did that at a regular conference, the guys are just like, do I even want to interact with you? Because I just want to talk money. I just want to talk business. I just want to. And for us, it's a way to be like, how do I live in my authentic self? And I think for women, that's another thing that you experience, like just being a woman in the space. Sometimes if it's male dominated, how do you prove that you have just as much gumption, you have just as much talent as the guy that's standing right there? Because all they see first is you being a woman, you know?
Yeah.
So, but you could come to the conference,
I'm like, grab a little wig.
We like you guys visiting us. We have lunches and, you know, dinners.
I'll be like, yo, I'll take y'all photos.
There we go. Cool. Sneaking however you.
Word. I'm like, yo, special, open the back door for real.
Yeah, I got you. No, but I think that's good. And I think if I had to give advice, for imposter syndrome is having a clear circle. We've kind of talked about it, whether that's you curating a group for yourself, offering those one-on-ones, the summits. I think that all speaks to, both for men and women, having a safe space where you can talk about the challenges that you're dealing with. And you said that men don't really talk about that. So when you get around other men,
I'm the weirdo. Like, it's like, yo, you way too emotional. Why are we talking about this? Like, it's not literally them saying that, but it's like, nigga, we don't want to talk about this. But for me personally, like, I'm going to get it out. I know I'm emotional. I know it is what it is. Like, no one can tell me anything that I don't already know about myself. So that's what had, like, because I had some bros that we used to always kick it, mainly before the pandemic. We lived in a close proximity and we did a lot of things together. And that's what type of time we were on, because no one, even if I expressed myself and they didn't agree, it still was a conversation that was created from that. And, you know, I don't think that it happens a lot. Well, actually, no, it's happening a lot more. I have found myself, I'm lying. I found myself in spaces where guys are like, bro, like, just talk about how you feel. You know what I mean? And I found myself in these spaces where deep conversation is occurring. So I'm happy that it's becoming the norm, but 5-6 years ago, I don't think that that was transpiring. Yeah.
Yeah. It's usually hot topics at brunch for us. So that's good to know that that is changing. And I hope that there is more light that's brought to, because the conversation around mental health, especially around the pandemic, has been a hot topic overall. Like, people want to be more aware of how they're feeling, how, you know, their anxieties, their fears, their concerns, and normalizing, like, I also feel this too. So I hope that by extension, there is more conversation that men experience imposter syndrome and what to look for in that, how to invite the men. So what would be your advice as a business owner, as someone who is working with other like new individuals entering into a space? Are there things to look for if someone might be experiencing imposter syndrome?
I think if someone is experiencing imposter syndrome, especially a male, they need to first try to figure out what the source of the imposter syndrome is. So for me, my imposter syndrome was first based on my lack of knowledge in photography. And then second, the fact that people were doing it a lot longer than me. Once I realized what my target points were, I was then able to go out and attack those target points. So, okay, I'm feeling uncomfortable about my experience. Let me try to do more shoots. Sometimes when you first start out, you got to do some free shoots. It's okay. Like, the free shoots was giving me, or was putting me in the predicament to get paid shoots. So
the practice.
The practice. I'm like, okay, I'm doing this for free, blah, 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 paying studio time, whatever. But now someone sees that and they're like, hey, can we do something? And now I'm coming in and learning from that. So I would say that, that's my main piece of advice. Just understanding what your points are, where you think that you need work, because we all need work. We all, like, life is just a constant flow of, what am I not good at? What do I need to get better at? How can I get better? Am I going to get better? Let me move forward. Everything that I do is just like that in every facet of my life. I'm not the best. I'm not this. I'm not that. Okay, cool. What do I need to do to get better? How can I do it? Okay, if I start this tomorrow, let me do it. And then I just try not to allow a long enough space, a long enough gap to where I'm not doing it. And then you just keep doing it. And the next thing you know, it becomes a habit.
Yeah, I think becoming your own measuring stick.
Absolutely. Stop worrying about other people. Like, I don't follow. I got like maybe two huge photographers that I follow, like that have like over 100,000, 200,000 followers. Everyone else is just like local, and I don't care what they do. Like, I like their stuff, and I'd be like, wow, that's dope. You know, if I really care, then I'll ask, but I haven't recently needed to do that. For me, it's becoming comfortable with where you are and becoming comfortable with the journey. You know, people look at this, like we were talking about it earlier, the social media. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Oh, they over there.
I'm going to have to do a whole social media episode just to prove I don't hate social media.
Dear social media.
I know. I don't hate it, but it's that double-edged sword, right? Yeah. Because you go on there and it's fun. I enjoy seeing the work. I think for you, like, I get to see the effort that you put behind the scenes, your preparation and just your persistence and tenacity and wanting to get better, right? So I get to experience that. But all others see is you in the studio, which I absolutely love. Yeah. Like, they get to see that part. But if they didn't know how much work you put into preparing for shoots, how much you think about it, how often you're like trying new things and just teaching yourself different skills, I can see how someone can look to your work and be like, yeah, I don't know if I could do that. Right. Yeah. And that's the bad part about social media. And I appreciate you saying whenever someone does reach out, you're willing to kind of help and work through them, because not everyone's like that.
Yeah.
Not everyone feels approachable. If I slid into somebody else's DM, like, hey, I saw that you were working with this client, can I talk more about your experience for them to be open to talk about that experience. And I think that that's the part of social media that gets lost.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not, it shouldn't be a competition. There's way too many of us out here, yeah, right?
People are getting married every year. Yeah. People got birthdays every year.
Businesses start parties all right the time. Like, strategies change. The pandemic switched up a lot of stuff. Like, so for me, it's like, I cannot get frustrated that someone else is doing well or someone else got a client because that just wasn't meant for me. But right, when you use social media as your measuring stick all the time, it's just so hard to feel comfortable in your own space.
You gotta cut it. You definitely have to cut it. Like, it's, I don't know, it's just not the best way to measure your worth.
No.
Your worth is what you think you are. And you'd be surprised, like, for people that don't know, like, everyone is going through it on social media where, or not everyone, some people are still, you know, thriving, but, like, you know, their numbers are down. Mm-hmm. Instagram has implemented an algorithm to where you can't, you can barely reach out to your following. Yeah. So am I going to be mad that I'm not getting or putting up the numbers that I used to put up? Yeah, it hurts. But when you, after you get past those initial feelings, you understand, one, it ain't real. And two, when I go into the real world, people are like, yo, you're dope. You're this, you're that. So I'm just reiterating what you said. It's no reason to actually harp on, like, you know, what social media isn't doing for you or mm-hmm. other people on social media, because it's just the highlight reel.
But I promise I'm going to defend social media. Yeah. I need social media. I love social media. But take it with a grain of salt, right? Because it's not the entirety of it. Right. So I always want to leave this with, what should I write in my notepad? My little notebook on the side.
All right, we ain't discussed this in the notes.
Of all the things that you've learned and your experience with imposter syndrome, being a man that does experience it and finding ways to conquer it, what tip would you give to someone else who may be starting out on that journey to decide if they want to enter into a new venture or step out of their comfort zone to combat imposter syndrome?
I would say the tip that I would give is, it's just going to reiterate what I was mentioning earlier, mainly falling in love with the journey, understanding that it is a journey and it's okay that it's a journey. I was talking to someone the other day. They said hey, you don't want to go viral. I was like, no, I think I actually do. Like, I would love to go viral mm-hmm. so I can then, like, so that people could see, you know, I could feel more validated. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And ultimately, they were telling me the negative sides of going viral and all this other stuff. And it's just, like, not that great. But I'm okay with not going viral because I understand that whenever it's my time, it will be my time. Mm. And I think that we have to slow down. Social media does an amazing job at putting everything you want or things that you don't even know you want in front of you. And so being able to look at this stuff and say, okay, this is transpiring here, mm-hmm. but what's going on in my physical reality?
Yeah.
And say, okay, I'm here. I want to work towards this. And then you just start to create those habits, try to get 1% better. I'll use working out for an example. Like, I tell myself, don't let 2 days go by. Mm. If 2 days don't go by, you work out 3 times a week. That's a great start. Mm. And you just keep on doing that. Then eventually don't let a day go by. So now you're working out every other day. Now you're at 5 times a week. You know what I'm saying? It's just like little things like that to where, or maybe 4, whatever the math is, but it's like little things like that. Just implementing, you know, how do I get to the next step? That's just a foot further.
Yeah.
You don't have to hit the long ball. You don't have to go.
Don't swing for the fence.
Yeah. You just got to go further forward 1% at a time. So fall in love with the journey. Cause if you don't, then it's like, well, why are you even doing it? Like I don't want to be a photographer so I could be the cool guy on the side. Like, I'm already popping, you know what I mean? I already
once
love
again,
myself. You
know what not mean? A man experiencing imposter syndrome.
Yeah, no more. I'm not experiencing that shit no more. Right now. No, we not doing that. But yeah, just understanding that I'm going to be better and I'm going to get better 1% at a time, a day at a time, a step at a time, however you want to put it.
That's a good one. And I have loved watching you on this journey. It's been amazing. If anybody else wants to check out your work or get in contact with you, where can they find you at?
You can find me on Instagram at _ratedTG. We could throw that up on the video. We could you could also go to my website, www.tellygarrett.com, Twitter or Threads _ratedTG, you know, but if you Google Tully Garrett, like something should pop up. Like it's usually one of those things, but those are the places that you can find me.
Okay. And soon you will find me here.
Yeah.
All the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We're going to set this up. This might be the last recording on this couch. I hope so. You know what I mean? Gotta get this couch out of here.
I'm spoiled now. I'm officially spoiled.
Right.
Thank you so much for being a part of Coffee and a Notepad. You. And I will catch you guys next time.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.